I'm talking today with Bob Smither, who is the Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 22nd District. Bob, the first question that comes to my mind is, why the Libertarian Party?
Well, I've been a Libertarian since 72. The party actually started in 71, and I remember writing in John Hospers as their presidential candidate in 72. So I've been in tune with their thoughts for a long time.
What in particular about it?
Personal responsibility and individual liberty, I guess, is the big thing.
Okay. Your background is as an electrical engineer.
Right.
Tell me, how does that, I frequently ask people how their background shapes their candidacy. How does that shape what you do as a candidate?
Well, I don't know about the candidacy, but there are a lot of engineers in the Libertarian Party, I've noticed.
I am not the least bit surprised by that.
I like to think it's because we're rational, but I'm sure there are other opinions on that. I don't know how it shapes my candidacy. As an engineer, I'm pretty reserved, so that's not a benefit, and I find the public stuff kind of daunting, and I'm not real used to it, but that's about the only influence, I guess, the engineering background has.
Okay. Obviously, everyone knows what a sort of crazy campaign it's been overall on the 22nd. There's no Republican candidate on the ballot. The party has sort of coalesced behind a write-in candidate, Shelley Sekula Gibbs. What's your strategy to persuade Republicans that they'd be better off voting for you?
Well, I think that, I was disappointed that the Republicans decided to go ahead with a write-in candidate. Write-in candidates just don't get elected. I mean, it's just an historical fact. It's very, very difficult to win as a write-in. I started off actually as a Goldwater Republican, and I think a lot of the grassroots base of the Republican Party, I like to think that I share a lot of values with them, constitutionally limited government, small government, low taxes, again, individual responsibility and personal liberty.
Okay. There's been a lot of, I would say, discontent, if you will, amongst some prominent libertarians who have traditionally voted Republican with the Republican Party lately, the Congress and President Bush, people like Radley Balko with the Cato Organization, Ron Bailey with Reason Magazine. There are some obvious bones of contention, more government spending, which has gone up faster under Bush than it did under Clinton, NSA wiretapping, and of course the war in Iraq. You have said that you are going to, that you would caucus with the Republicans if you are elected. So I guess my question is, where do you see yourself as being different from them, and what is your opinion overall of, the performance lately of the Republican Congress?
Okay, well, that's a lot. Let me see if I can remember all that. I've said that I would vote for a Republican Speaker of the House, and I would do that. Again, starting off as a Goldwater Republican, I do feel closer to the Republicans than to the Democrats. The Republicans, I think, have really, the spending is just out of control, and this is at a time when Republicans have both houses and the White House, and they've spent faster than anybody even since LBJ. That's just not the Republican Party that I was once associated with. So, yeah, I think they have a lot of things to answer for. Libertarians, and myself in particular, put a lot of emphasis on individual liberty, personal freedoms, and this warrantless wiretapping is simply an unconstitutional act that I think needs to stop. So I definitely would distinguish myself there from Republicans.
How about the war on Iraq?
The war on Iraq is an interesting and a huge problem. That's no news. I think that if we had followed our Constitution in the first place, we might, and who can say, second-guessing, but we might not be in the mess that we're in. Congress did what I thought was sort of a cowardly thing. The Constitution says Congress declares war, very plain. It doesn't say that they give their authority to somebody else. So they gave their authority to one man, and the founders never intended for us to go to war on the decision of one person. It was always intended to be openly discussed, thoroughly discussed, and fought out in the forum of the Congress. And so perhaps if we had followed that procedure, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. but we're there. There's no question. And I think there's still some stuff that we could do that might salvage it. And what I would suggest is following what Milton Friedman suggested a few years ago. I think we should still do it. And that is to give ownership of the oil reserves to the people of Iraq, not to the government, but to the people in terms of shares of ownership of that oil. That would immediately give a incentive for stability to all factions in the country. They would directly benefit from what, after all, is theirs, and it would blunt the thought that we did this in order to profit from the oil, because they, as individual citizens, would be the direct beneficiaries of those oil reserves. It would pump money into the economy, into the hands of individuals who could then have the resources to start up businesses. I'm a firm, real believer in free markets. And given that sort of scenario, with the resources that they would have available through individual ownership of that oil, I could see Iraq just blossoming as a free market example to the Mideast. I think we need to do that very quickly, because, you know, we're quickly losing influence in the country. And once that's done, then I think we need to have a tactical disengagement from a lot of the places that we're involved in the world.
Do you believe, as some libertarians do, that we ought to, as a general rule, pull troops out of different foreign countries where they currently are, close overseas bases?
As a general rule, yeah. I mean, what our military is supposed to be for is to defend this country. And, I mean, we have bases in, what, 130 countries, I think, was the last time I looked. It used to be 100. I don't know where the other 30 came from. We're overextended. We're not the policemen of the world. We need to lead the world by example. We need to show what a true free society can do. We should offer free trade with anybody, but tangling alliances are just getting us in trouble left and right.
Okay. The closest thing that the Libertarian Party has in Congress is, of course, Ron Paul, who was the Libertarian Party candidate for president in 1988. Has he been any influence on your campaign? In what ways would you model yourself after him as a congressman?
Well, I would love to be Dr. No, too. I think very highly of Ron, and he does exactly what I intend to do. Every congressman that gets sworn in says an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that's exactly what I will do when I'm there. And I believe that Ron does pretty much the same thing. When he's faced with a decision, he evaluates it in terms of the enumerated powers given to Congress by our Constitution. I will do the same thing, and I won't vote for things that are not authorized by our Constitution.
Give me an example of something that you think where the Congress has overreached its authority.
Oh, all over the place. Two things would just pop immediately to mind. I think that we're in the process of destroying our educational system because of federal involvement. There's no reason, there's no authority for the feds to be involved in educating our kids. This is clearly, first of all, a family responsibility, second, a local responsibility, and maybe a state responsibility, but not a federal responsibility to educate our kids. The other is health care. We're in the process of destroying what once was a very efficient, compassionate healthcare system by the federal regulations that have been imposed from Washington, and I think that feds need to get out of it.
Okay. If you were elected, what would be your first priority as a congressman? What would be the first bill that you would write up to present to the floor?
I haven't thought about that. it really would just be, I think, my campaign is based on constitutional integrity, so I don't know if I'd be writing a lot of bills. I'd probably be working to get the government out of the areas that I just mentioned.
Okay.
I would like to restore rights that have been lost. I guess if I were to write bills, after doing some research, I'd like to restore a lot of the privacy that we've lost and just some of the individual liberties that we've lost in this country. And I'd like to do legislation to restore those, which probably means no legislation, just basically getting the government out of areas that they're now interfering in.
Another strain of thought that's been appearing in libertarian writings lately is that it's not just the government that can interfere with people's privacy, but corporations as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, the example, the big example that was in the news a while back was ChoicePoint company in California that, lost a whole bunch of people's private information and then didn't tell anybody about it until they were actually forced to do so by a law that existed only in California. So this would kind of be an example of where government regulation protected people's privacy. Where do you see a distinction there, and where do you draw a line?
It's actually an interesting example, because the worst offender in that area is the federal government. They put, 26 million records of servicemen were simply lost by incompetence of the government. And interestingly enough, they had the law that private companies have to reveal very quickly. They kept that information private or held back for quite a while. So I don't see the government as a big protector there. The one thing about private companies is that you do have a choice in dealing with them. And if they violate your rights, you just walk away from them. You can't do that with a government agency.
Well, I think the point that a lot of people made was that your average person on the street had no idea that a ChoicePoint even existed,
right,
let alone that they had all this information about you, credit check companies, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. That I think is the area where people think that maybe there needs to be more information available to the average consumer. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Okay. Has the National Libertarian Party been supportive to you? I mean, above and beyond what they are to any other Libertarian candidate?
They have. They, by their bylaws, they're not allowed to be financially supportive very much, unfortunately. But they've been very supportive just in in a couple of areas, in advice, because I've never done anything like this before. So, I'm learning day by day, as is my staff. The other area where they've been very supportive, they have a get-out-the-vote mechanism called Ballot Base, and they've allowed our campaign to use that to make telephone calls into the district, for example, and we will continue to do that.
Okay. What is your strategy to reaching out to voters in general, not just Republican voters, mm-hmm, but all voters in the district?
We'll be doing an awful lot of block walking. Actually, we had some scheduled for this past weekend, but it got rained out. But from now until the election, I'll be out just about every weekend block walking. We certainly hope to get the finances to do some radio advertising.
Okay. I've written several things about your candidacy and got some response from some libertarian bloggers who have been interested in your candidacy as well. The Democrats have a pretty good structure in place for getting support from what they call the net roots. How much of that have you experienced, and how much would you like?
Well, I'd like all I can get, obviously. But I have had a lot of support from some bloggers, some coverage, especially around the time when the decision was being made about the write-in campaign. We're not as experienced at this level as the Democrats and the Republicans. So as a party, we're still learning.
Okay. You've answered just about all my questions. I'm used to the candidates talking a bit more. But you're pretty concise. I think that's the engineer in you coming through.
Right.
Is there anything you would like to add?
I guess going back, you asked what the first bill I would write. I don't have an answer to that. I have two bills that I certainly would sponsor very quickly. And that is, one is the fair tax, because I think that the current income tax is so convoluted that nobody can understand it. And I do think it just needs to be scrapped. The alternatives that I've looked at, I like the fair tax proposal best. So I would certainly sign on as a sponsor to that.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. The fair tax would replace most federal taxation, income, corporate, estate, and there's a bunch of others that I can't remember right now, but most federal taxation with a single comprehensive retail sales tax, the tax on all new goods and services. I think education is not included, but essentially all new goods and services. It includes a prebate, which would given to everybody. There's no, and that's what I like about it, because it doesn't invade our privacy whatsoever. There's a prebate given to all, I guess, probably holders of Social Security numbers would be the way it would be administered, that pays back any sales tax that people under the poverty level would pay on essentials. So really, for the first time, people at the poverty level and below would be completely untaxed. It would reduce corporate taxes. The economists estimate that the cost of goods and services would fall about 20 to 25%. There's obviously a different, you know, a margin of error there, but that would make our goods and more competitive overseas. And you know, imagine taking 25% out of the cost of all our goods. It would be much more competitive in the world marketplace. And it would be revenue neutral. It would bring in the same amount of money that the that our current system does, but without violating our privacy. Anybody that consumes is going to be paying that tax. So we now have like a $1 trillion underground economy that's not taxed, and that would be taxed for the first time. It's just got all sorts of advantages that I see.
Okay, and the other thing before I interrupted?
The other thing would be Ron Paul, we have... Abortion is such a contentious issue in this country, and it has been for decades. And I think one reason it is, I think, is that we have sort of a federally imposed one-size-fits-all legislation now in the abortion area. And Ron Paul has introduced a bill that would basically remove appellate jurisdiction from the Supreme Court in the area of abortion. So this is, you know, it's a clearly constitutional move. It's right there in the Constitution in probably Article 1 or 2, whichever one talks about the judiciary, that Congress can regulate what issues the Supreme Court has jurisdiction over. So this would simply remove it from the federal field and let local people decide for themselves how to handle this issue. And I just think we've probably come up with a less divisive and certainly more diverse solution to this problem.
All right. Bob Smither, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
Good luck to you in your race.
Thank you very much.